If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this Lord's Day, we are glad to greet you again in the lovely name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to be a Christian today. What a privilege it is to live in a Christian nation. It's a joy to come to you with the gospel of redeeming grace. God is good to us in these days of summer revival. As souls continue to be saved, believers are baptized, and people are added to the church every Lord's Day. We're rejoicing in the spirit of spiritual renewal. God has promised to do something for His people. We read in the book of 2 Chronicles, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." That's God's promise to America today. If God's people will humble themselves and pray, my friend, we're calling on people all over the city and across the Metroplex to join with us in prayer that God would send a revival to America. We believe the answer to the problems of our nation come from God. The answer is what God wants us to have and what God wants us to enjoy, and that is an old-fashioned revival. God is waiting, I believe, to bless this great land of freedom, this land where the Bible has been proclaimed now for almost 200 years. God wants to do something for America. And I believe God wants to begin that great revival right here in the city of Fort Worth. So we're asking you to continue to pray with us for a spiritual renewal, a spiritual awakening, an old-fashioned revival during these days. Remember, summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church. We invite you and your family to come today to share with us the blessings of the Lord in our Sunday school at 10 o'clock, our morning worship hour at 11, and our Sunday evening worship service at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs. Here at Worth Baptist Church, we believe in the old-fashioned gospel. We teach from the Bible, and we preach the gospel of redeeming grace. You'll find a warm welcome and a spiritual and friendly atmosphere in which to worship God in the services of worship today. If you're looking for a place where God is doing business and where Christians are coming together in fellowship one with another and are being challenged to go out and share their faith, then we invite you to visit Worth Baptist Church today. Remember, our Sunday school has a class for every member of your family. Remember, our textbook is the Bible, and remember, you'll find inspirational singing and the gospel of Christ proclaimed in every service of Worth Baptist Church. We're looking forward to a wonderful day, this Lord's Day. We want you to be a part of it. We want you to share it with us. We'd like for you to call a neighbor, a friend. Let them know that Worth Baptist Hour is on the air. Invite them to come with you today to Worth Baptist Church, located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We are making plans to build on our new property, a 14-acre tract located on Campus Drive, 1/2 mile north of Loop 820, adjoining the properties of the Fort Worth State School. We are looking forward to moving in that direction. We believe God has many wonderful things ahead of us, and we want you to share them with us. You can do so today as you come and visit with us at our present location, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We'll be looking forward to seeing you in the services today, and we'd like to hear from you by mail this week. Many of you have intended to drop just a card or letter to give your encouragement to keep this broadcast going. We only ask you to write this week. And if you would like the tapes on Worth Baptist Hour, or if you would like the 12 tapes on the Book of the Revelation, under the title 1975 in Prophecy, We invite you to write today and learn how you can receive these tapes. Remember our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And remember, you'll find a warm welcome, a friendly atmosphere in which to worship God today at Worth Baptist Church, the church where things are happening, where God is blessing, where souls are being saved, and where we are reaching out into the community to evangelize the city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come today, and you'll enjoy the fellowship as you worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness here at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Let's Go Giant Killing. I'm going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 17. But before we read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful today again for the privilege to voice the gospel. We thank Thee for the power of the gospel of redeeming grace. We thank Thee for the freedom, the liberty that we have, for the wonderful privilege that is ours to tell out the good news of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We would ask that this broadcast would reach many hearts and many homes, many places of business, many people who are traveling across our city and across the Metroplex. We ask that each one would be blessed by this broadcast today. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read at verse 45, Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Let's go giant killing. The story of David and Goliath is one of the most fascinating stories in all the Bible. The background comes out of the conflict between Israel and the nation of the Philistines. The odds, of course, were against David. The giant's armor and the giant's size were overwhelming. The armor suit weighed 200 pounds. The spearhead weighed 25 pounds, and the giant stood 9 feet and 9 inches tall. He had a sword, a stave, and a spear. But look at David. David was a small boy. He had only a sling, a staff, and 5 stones. But there was a notable difference between these two characters. The giant, Goliath, came in his own name. David came in the name of the Lord God of Israel. I would have you to know, my friend, right now and notable in your life and mine, one salient fact is true. There is a power beyond the strength of human might, and that power is the power of God. We read in 1 John chapter 4 at verse 4, Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is the great power of God that makes the difference between victory and defeat in your life. With this power, you can conquer your enemies. With this power, you can overcome your difficulties. With this power, you can solve your problems. You can strengthen your weaknesses. You can win your everyday battles. With this power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can kill the giants of opposition. The first giant that we must kill in our lives is the giant of discouragement. Perhaps you're listening today, terribly discouraged. Maybe you feel like giving up. Maybe you feel like, what's the use? I'll not even go to church today. I went last Sunday and I don't see any difference. My friend, the devil wants you to be discouraged. This giant of discouragement has tremendous proportions in your life. He's big, he's tall, and he's strong. He's well-trained, he's well-preserved, and he's been around a long, long time. But my friend, in spite of all of that, with the power of God in your life, you can defeat discouragement. Someone wrote the prayer of a newly converted farmer down in Haiti, and when he translated it into English, it read like this: "Dear Lord, there's a big devil around here called discouragement. Please send him away because he's bothering us." Now, my friend, discouragement is devastating. Discouragement is disconcerting. It's disenchanting. It's destructive. It's detrimental to your service. It's dishonoring to God. If the devil were to decide to reduce all of the arsenal of his weapons, he probably would keep one weapon at least. And that one weapon would be the tool of discouragement, because the most effective tool that Satan has today is the tool of discouragement. And you know, my friend, if I were the devil, I'd probably do the same thing. I would discourage every believer that I could. And the reason I would discourage people if I were the devil is this: discouragement renders a person ineffective in his service for Christ. A discouraged soul winner will not win souls. A discouraged choir member will not sing well. A discouraged preacher will not preach well. A discouraged Sunday school teacher will not teach effectively. A discouraged giver will not give much. A discouraged church member will not do much for the church and for Christ. A discouraged prayer warrior will not pray fervently. You see, discouragement will rob you of your joy. It will dim your spiritual vision. It will lessen your zeal. It will dampen your spirit. And it will ultimately defeat your purpose. Well, I know some of you are asking now, but how can I kill this giant of discouragement? Well, my friend, there are 10 simple rules for you to follow. Listen very carefully. Number one, go out and do something for the Lord, and then repeat it 9 times. If you'll do that, my friend, you'll kill the giant of discouragement in your life. Do these 3 things in addition. First, sit down and count your blessings by taking inventory of what God has done for you. Second, lend a helping hand to someone who is less fortunate than you are. And third, learn to praise God for everything that He does. Did you know an army one time won a war simply by giving praise to God? The story is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Judah was at war with 3 nations, Ammon, Moab, and Seir. King Jehoshaphat organized a choir to go ahead of his army, and they said one thing, and this was what they said: "Praise God, for His mercy endureth forever." When that great choir in unison sang those words, the armies of the enemy turned on one another. There was a mass murder, and they destroyed each other. Judah won the victory because the army of Judah praised God. You know, my friend, you could win a lot of your battles in life if you'd learn to praise God. You can kill the giant of discouragement by simply praising God for what He's done. The disciples were fishing on one occasion, and they had fished all night. The Bible says they had caught nothing. They were terribly discouraged. But in the morning, Jesus said to them, "Cast your net on the right side." When they obeyed Jesus Christ, they overcame their discouragement because they won the victory. You too can kill the giant of discouragement and win the victory in your life. By the way, if you're discouraged now and you think things are going down, 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 remember this: the sun has a sinking spell every night, but it rises again every morning. There's a second giant that you must kill in your life, and that is the giant of worry. Paul said in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, that word "careful" is really the word "anxious." Do you know what the word "anxious" means? The word "anxious" means to pull in different directions. You see, there are forces in your life that are pulling you in a dozen different directions. And you begin to worry about these things. By the way, do you know what the word worry really means? To worry means to choke or to strangle. And some of you today are strangling your own spiritual and mental lives by simply worrying about everything that probably will never happen. Worry has tremendous physical effects on you. It causes headaches, backaches, and stomach aches. Worry affects your digestive tract and your coordination. Worry makes something big out of something that's little. Paul put it this way, in so many words, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Worry, someone has said, is interest paid on trouble before it is due. Someone else said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere. Nothing will waste your body like worry. Nothing will canker your soul like worry. Nothing will rust your heart like worry. You see, God never built a Christian strong enough to carry today's duties and tomorrow's worries piled up on top of them. Someone said, borrow trouble for yourself if that's your nature, but don't lend it to your neighbor. My friend, there's no need for you to go around spreading trouble. There's no need for you to bog everybody else down with the problems and difficulties that you have. My friend, you must come to this realization that worry will kill you. Worry will rob you of peace and tranquility. Worry will sap your physical energy. It takes more energy to worry than it does to work. Worry will cloud your mind and render you incapable of thinking properly. Worry will stall the engine of your life and put you out of gear. There are 3 days of the week that you should never but never worry. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Don't ever worry on those 3 days. You've got it made. Some people bear 3 kinds of trouble in their hearts all the time. 1, all the trouble they've ever had. 2, all the trouble they have now. And 3, all the trouble they ever expect to have. You see, my friend, when you think about people, your trouble grows. But when you think about God, your trouble goes. The poet put it this way. Never trouble trouble till trouble troubles you. For you only make your trouble double trouble when you do. And the trouble like a bubble that you're troubling about may be nothing but a cipher with its rim rubbed out. Why should you worry, my friend, when you can pray? There's a little chorus, the words of which go like this. Pray your troubles away. Night will turn to day. If you'll pray and pray and pray, you'll pray your troubles away. I know someone's asking now, but how can I kill this awful giant of worry? Do exactly what David did. Use what you have and go after that giant in the name of the Lord. David said, I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Each time you start to worry, why don't you just say a prayer, something like this. Dear Lord, I'm your child, you're my father, you have all the resources in heaven and all of the riches on earth. Why would I worry with you as my companion? My friend, if you learn to pray like that, recognizing who God is and who you are and what God has and what God wants to do for you, you'll kill the giant of worry. And that, my friend, will be a great victory in your life. The third and final giant that you must kill is the giant of unbelief. Unbelief is a crippling force in our world of the 20th century. Unbelief thrives in the hearts of weak Christians. Unbelief steals many blessings from you, and unbelief is a sin. Paul put it this way, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Unbelief will deprive you of what otherwise could be yours. Moses did not enter the promised land because of unbelief. The people in Jesus' day did not see many more mighty miracles because of unbelief. And many of you today listening to this broadcast are living on a low level of Christian joy because of unbelief. Remember this, the other thief on the cross died in his sin because of unbelief. The rich young ruler went away sorrowful because of his unbelief. And King Agrippa lost the only opportunity on record for him to be saved because of unbelief. Now you're asking, but how can I kill this giant of unbelief? I would say this, the only weapon with which you can combat the giant of unbelief is with belief. In other words, faith will kill the giant of unbelief in your life. Jesus put it this way, all things are possible to him that believeth. Only believe. Only believe. The work, my friend, of Jesus Christ in your heart comes through belief. All things are possible to him that believeth. That's what you need to do today, my friend. Simply take God at his word. Learn to believe him. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. The world says, show me and I'll believe you. Jesus says, believe me and I'll show you. Right now, he wants to show you something. He wants to show you how he can make your life all over again. He wants to give you a new leash on life. He wants you to have a new and determined effort in your soul today. And you can have it by simply exercising faith in what God has promised you. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, and I quote, brethren, be great believers. A little faith will bring your souls to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your souls. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. There is a giant to kill in your life today, and if you do not kill that giant will kill you. It's that simple. You must learn to kill the giant of discouragement, of worry, and of unbelief, or that giant in your life will kill you. As we leave the broadcast today, I remind you once again that it would be our joy to have you and your family come and visit with us at Worth Baptist Church, located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.